In your copies of the Bible with me to Psalm 27. Have you ever noticed how children like to play in certain places? Special places, favorite places. Little boys will gather pillows together and make a fort out of that. And children will have their little favorite places they'll like to go to play, or just sometimes to be alone, to think, or to be sad. They'll have a favorite place. It might be under the bed, it might be in the bed with the covers pulled over and a flashlight to read a book or to draw a picture. Or sometimes they'll go into a closet and just be alone. Other children, they don't want a confined place. They want an open place, so they'll go out in the yard and sit under a tree and sometimes even talk to the tree. And they want to be alone. Sometimes children will go to their favorite place when they're very sad or when they're afraid. A storm comes and they're afraid, so they run and hide in the closet. Or in those sad times when mommy and daddy are having an argument and they go to their favorite place to feel safe because they don't understand what's happening. And I think all of us that as adults can remember when we were children, we would have a favorite place that we would go to and we would feel safe from the problems. And it could be anywhere. And then as children grow up, they don't completely get over that. That young girl becomes an adolescent and she has her first heartbreak. And the tears come and she runs back to her favorite place. And you that are parents need to be sensitive to when those children go to their favorite place, something is going on. And then we adults sometimes go through that. I remember in a movie where there was a scene on an airplane and there were two strangers and one of them was very afraid. Well, the other passenger was a counselor, so he said, "What's wrong?" The man said, I've always been afraid of flying, and oh, they might crash. So the other man said, "Where do you live?" "Well, I live in such and such a city." "Do you have a house?" "Yes." "When you come home from having a bad day at work, where do you go and what do you come home?" The man says, "Oh, when I have a bad day at work, I go to the garage and I have a workbench and I start working in wood and I forget the problems back at work." And so the counselor said, "While we're on the airplane, why don't you just close your eyes and pretend you're back in your garage?" And it worked. The man was no longer afraid to fly. And psychologists have noticed that with children and not so young children like us. But that doesn't always work. Sometimes going to your favorite place or your special place doesn't always work. Psychologically, in your time of tragedy or depression or crisis. But our Heavenly Father has provided such a place for His children that does work. And He will meet them there in the storms of life, or in the times where the tears are there, wherever their tears or fears, God will meet us, not in the favorite place or the special place, but what He calls the secret place. Let's look at some of the verses in the Bible that mention this secret place. Our first one is here in the book of Psalms, verse chapter 27, verse 5. "In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Now we know a little bit about the setting of this psalm. David was on the run. And you remember the life of David. There were several times he was on the run from King Saul or one of his sons. And where would he run to? Well, he would run and hide in a secret hiding place. And one time he ran to a certain cave, the cave of Adullam, And some of the people in the nearby village came out to him and they helped him and they fed him and they comforted him. And in 1 Samuel 19:2 and in chapter 20, verse 5 and in verse 24, we find him hiding in a secret place. But here David says, God's going to hide me in a secret place in the tabernacle. Now, the word for secret place here is the Hebrew word sether. And it's usually translated the secret place, sometimes the secret, or the shelter. It's interesting. Some scholars think the word shelter comes from sether, because they are similar to each other. Now, the first and main thing we see here about the secret place is it's God's secret place for shelter for his children in time of trouble, in time of danger, fear, whatever it is. David had his enemies. We have our enemies. It may not be a king or someone coming to take our life, but we're besieged by fears, depression, all sorts of enemies, health problems. You lose your job or you're afraid of some danger in the future, a medical report. You need God's secret place to run to for comfort, to hide there and to get safety. And God has provided that. And we see examples of that in Scripture. 1 Kings 17:3, God said to Elijah, "Elijah, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." And so he was out there in the desert, this little hiding place, and God met him. And for 3 years, God sent ravens to provide for him in that hiding place where he was safe from danger. God met with him and protected him. And we find that in the life of David. And he had to go to a hideout and God was there. And we see in Scripture sometimes God brought the person and other times the person himself fled there saying, "God will meet me there." God will provide a secret place for you. Now, we're not talking about a geographical place. We find examples of that in Scripture. We're talking about a spiritual secret place, a spiritual hiding place that God provides for his children in time of need. Now, Scripture uses several similar metaphors to describe this place. Sometimes it's called a shield. Psalm 119:114, David said, "You are my hiding place and my shield." In several places, the Bible says God is like a tower or a fortress. And of course, a fortress is where the soldiers or the citizens run to, lock the gates, and they are safe in that place. And God has provided that for us. He is a fortress for us in time of need. Similarly, Psalm 17:8 says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." Psalm 61 says, "You have been a shelter." There's the word sether again. "You have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." So David mixes these various metaphors as if to say, you could say it's a strong tower. You could say it's under God's wings. We find shelter and safety there. Let me show you another one. Turn with me, but keep your hand there in Psalm 27. But turn to Psalm 91, where we find yet another example. I remember learning these verses many, many years ago in my youth. Psalm 91, and I've often read these at funerals or when people are going through a very serious trial. Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Here the psalmist tells us all these various dangers that can come our way, and he says you won't be afraid of any of them when you are in the secret place. It may be in the tabernacle, it may be in his fortress. And then he uses this lovely analogy again of finding refuge under the wings of God, under his feathers. You remember a couple of months ago I told you what that was. The Bible uses this analogy from the barnyard where a storm or a chicken hawk comes and the little chicks go running to the mother hen. She lifts up her wings and the little chicks find safety under the mother hen's wings. And when they are there, they also can sense the heartbeat of the mother hen. And God has chosen that as a metaphor to say, come to me in your storm, and when there is a danger, you will find safety in the secret place under my wings. Or to use a more modern analogy, when that little child is crying and comes running to mommy or to daddy, and mother and father grab the little child with their arms, and the child feels safe. Family of God, we've got a heavenly Father, and he's got arms, he's got wings, and he says, come to me and find safety in the secret place of my love for you. So he provides this secret place, and there it is again, Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, we find that around the world, they have different words for shelter. Some of you remember the great preacher Francis Schaeffer. He was an American missionary to Switzerland right after World War II, and he founded a little chalet just outside the village of Waymo, and the college students and other young people from all around Europe and even America would go there. There were problems and searching for answers, and what is the meaning of life? And they heard about this place up in the mountains. And they'd go there and they would find God, because Schaeffer would tell them how to be saved and to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Schaeffer and his wife named this place L'Abri in French, which is French for the shelter. And young people would come there and find shelter, coming to know God. Now, brethren, there are times when each one of us here, from the youngest little children to the oldest saint, needs a place of shelter, and God has provided it for you. And that's what we're looking at this morning, a secret place of shelter. When? For example, in time of danger. Men are afraid to lose their job, or you get a medical report, or you're very sick, or anything. Family problems, danger, an emergency. Or sometimes when the burdens are just too heavy and you feel you've reached your breaking point and you say, I don't think I can go on one day, 1 hour more, and you cry out to God. And sometimes it's so deep you can't even speak it. It comes out like a rumble from deep in your heart. Help, Lord. Learn to pray, Lord, take me into the secret place. Bring me into the shadow of your wings. I need you, Lord. And when you're broken, you see, like David faced all sorts of enemies, we face enemies, fear, grief, worry, loneliness, pain, depression. The Bible sometimes uses another analogy that sometimes the child of God is like a wounded deer. And as a hunter, I've seen a wounded deer chased by coyotes and wolves. And the buzzards begin to circle. And what does that wounded deer do? It begins to run back to where it feels safe. Maybe where it gave birth or where it was born. It's an instinct God has put into animals. And when a storm clouds come, little animals will scurry to their dens. In the same way, we are like that. We feel wounded. We feel afraid. Where do we go? Unfortunately, some people, they run to the bottle or drugs or sex or some special sin. Don't go there. That never helps. God has provided a secret place for his children, and we need to know what it is, how to get there, and to know to meet with God there. It's a special hiding place. Some of you may have remembered that old great book called The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. I almost want to ask for a show of hands. I know many of you have read that. The story is that when in World War II, Corrie and her family hid Jews in their secret hiding place in their house there in Amsterdam, Netherlands. They hid them from the time of danger. And God has provided a hiding place for us, because sometimes this word is translated a hiding place, because the word set there is related to the verb to hide. Now, at this point, someone's going to say, isn't it cowardice for a Christian to run and hide? We are to be strong and brave. And what do you mean, Pastor Dan, that we should go and hide? Well, let's talk biblically, but let's also talk in a more modern way. We have in our presence this morning certain noble veterans, and any veteran in time of war will know there is a time to advance, but there's also time to have a strategic retreat. And you plan your next strategy. You back off and you hide and you rearm, you reload, and you do reconnaissance. Of course, you're not always advancing in the Christian life. We're not always advancing. Sometimes we need to have a strategic spiritual retreat and get close to God and plan our strategy. We need to retreat and hide in order to continue the fight later. God approves of it and God provides for it. Jeremiah 36 provides us examples. For example, it says, the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Aziel, and Shalmiah, the son of Abiel, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. But the Lord hid them. So the Lord took the initiative and says, you, hey, Baruch, Jeremiah, come with me. I'm going to hide you so that they can't get you. God sometimes takes his children and brings them into this secret hiding place to protect them. And just like in that incident, it says that people were after them and couldn't find them. When God brings his children into this secret place, the devil wants to chase them down, but the devil can't get there. God hides them from the devil and the demons and from our enemies. God protects us so that even the enemies cannot get us. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Now, it's not all the time. We can't always live in this secret place of hiding, but it's there when we really need it and God has provided it for us. Let's go back to Psalm 27. Let's get some more lessons here. He says there in verse 5, in the time of trouble or disaster, emergency, fear, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was the tent where there was worship in the Holy of Holies. It was a portable tent that would be moved around in the time of David. It was in Shiloh, and David often went there to worship. And he says that in this tabernacle there would be a secret place. Is he referring to the Holy of Holies or to where the sacrifices would be or the showbread? We're not told precisely. Later, the tabernacle would be replaced by a more permanent, larger structure, the temple. And interesting, we know in Scripture that later, when this huge building, the temple, was built, there were little alcoves and special hiding places that only the priests knew about. In Matthew 24:26, Jesus referred to the secret chambers of the temple. And that way back in the Old Testament, during a time of persecution, some of the priests hid the holy scrolls that had the book of the law, and they hid it in one of these places. And then many years later, some of the priests rediscovered it in this hiding place. And they said, we thought it was lost. No, no, no. It was stored away in one of the secret places of the tabernacle. 2 Chronicles 22 records another interesting incident. There was a time of persecution. An evil king and queen were on the throne going after the young heir of the throne, Joash. But the priest took little Joash and they hid him in one of the secret chambers of the temple. And he was safe for 6 whole years, and that the armies could not go and find him. There was off limit to them in the tabernacle. And Joash later grew up and became the king. He hid out in the secret place in the temple. And David said, I will be hid out there in the secret place of his tabernacle. Now, we also learned that the tabernacle would be called the sanctuary, and that it was part of the law of Israel. In fact, in other nations, troops could not go into their holy place, whether it was the Pantheon in Rome or the Acropolis in Greece. the soldiers, the police would say, no, 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 we cannot go in there. That's where people could run and find sanctuary. And over the centuries in various nations, that custom has developed. Over in Europe, for example, certain countries, a person may be wanted by the law, so he runs to a church and he claims sanctuary. Sanctuary, a safe place. It's interesting. The place of sanctuary is the sacred place, the secret place. We find an example of that, 1 Kings 2. Joab, who wasn't exactly a nice guy, he was wicked, he ran into the sanctuary of the temple, and he claimed sanctuary when he laid hands on the altar. He says, you can't take me away from here, even though he was evil. What am I saying? David says he finds sanctuary in the secret place of God's tabernacle. Now, this is also one reason why we in the body of Christ need to come with other Christians to church. In a way, this is the secret place where God will meet with us. But God has also provided a secret place outside of this building, wherever you are. Because you're not always here. The building's not always unlocked. But wherever you are in your emergency, there is a supernatural spiritual place, a secret place that God has provided. Something else. It says it's the secret place of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was supposed to be a sacred, holy place of sacrifice. Adam Clark, the commentator, said this, "Were there no other place, God would put me in the Holy of Holies so that an enemy would not dare to approach me. Even Satan cannot enter into this secret place God provides for his people. It's a holy place. It's a place of sacrifice. The blood of Christ is our refuge from sin and guilt, and it's, as it were, his blood is sprinkled in this secret place. So when we meet with God, Jesus is there, and he sanctifies it for us." Now let's turn to another place. Turn with me now to the New Testament that uses a similar analogy to describe this secret place that we need to go to in time of need. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus here is just about to give us the Lord's Prayer. But first he tells us a little bit about prayer. Verse 6, he says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room." You could say, go into your secret place, your favorite place. Close the door. "When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." What does this tell us? The secret place is where we meet with God and we commune with him and we unburden our hearts. We open them up and we cry out to God in prayer, just all alone. And we should all do that, not just in daily devotions, but in time of need. When your time of need comes, do you know how to run to God, wherever it is, and meet with him in the secret place and pray? You see, God is always there. We can't always be there, but when our time of need comes, we need to run there and meet with God in prayer and call out to him and cry out to him. The secret place is a place of prayer. Now, let me surprise you with another characteristic of this secret place. Turn back to the book of Psalms. This time, Psalm 81. When you go home, get out a concordance and look up other places in the Bible that describe this secret place. But here's one of them, Psalm 81, verse 7. God says, "You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah." Now he's referring back to Mount Sinai. But notice what he says. It's a secret place of thunder. And that means power. What am I saying? When we draw near to God in the secret place, when we draw near to him spiritually, we sense his power. Have you ever been to a place where you can just sense the power, like an electric plant, and you can hear that little humming and crackling, and you say, there is power being generated all around me here. When you go to the secret place and God is there, he manifests not only his mercy and his wisdom, but also his power. You see, it's like a fortress, and you feel safe in the arms of God's power. He will use power to comfort you and to protect you. But this is a secret place. What I'm saying is it's only for God's children. He provides it for all of His children, but only for God's children. It is our secret place. It's like the little child that says, "This is my secret place. You can't come in." Little children will build a clubhouse or, you know, a little tree house. They'll say, "This is only for our people." God's secret place is for all of His children, but only for His children. Outsiders cannot come in. Non-Christians cannot enter. In fact, non-Christians can't see it. They can't conceive of it or imagine it. They've never been there. And non-Christians will say, "What are you talking about, this secret place? Is this some imaginary place?" They don't know what it's like. They've never been there. But every Christian has been there sometime or another. You know what it's like to be there. When you're very close to God, you're almost afraid to open your eyes. You can sense Him so close to you. But no non-Christian has ever been there, because non-Christians do not know God. So when we talk like this, they say, "What in the world are you talking about?" It's invisible to them. And if you are not a Christian here this morning, you've never been there. You don't know what you're missing, because you go through the storms of life. Where do you go in your time of need? Where is your secret place? We invite you to come to this secret place. And to get there, you have to know Jesus Christ. He is the one that gains entrance for you. It is covered by His blood. You need to become a Christian, and He will take you into the secret holy place of communion with God. But I would warn you, if you're not a Christian, be careful. If you try to find it or enter into it by pretending to be a Christian, you'll be like that fellow Joab. Remember I mentioned Joab. He was being chased down by the king's men. He went into the tabernacle. He went up to the holy altar and said, "I claim sanctuary here." And the soldiers backed off. And then the king said, "He is an enemy. Go and take him away from the altar. Take him out and execute him." Well, where do we learn from that? When a non-Christian pretends to be Christian and dares to enter the secret place of communion with God, he is committing sacrilege, and God knows better. And God just might punish him like He did Joab. So you need to come with repentance and with faith. You see, sin will keep an unbeliever out, but sin will also keep a believer out from this place of communion with God. You see, it's a holy place, dear brethren. When we go to the holy, secret place of communion with God, we need to leave our sins outside. Just like Moses was told, "Moses, take your sandals off of your feet. You are on holy ground." The secret place is a holy place. Yes, it's a place of sanctuary. Yes, it's a place of communion. But dear brethren, when we run there with tears and broken hearts and with fears, we also need to say, "Lord, I will not trample the holy secret place with my sins. I repent. I confess them before You." It is a holy place. And one reason that we don't experience the secret place often enough is because of our sins. Leave it at the door and repent. Now, how do we enter this secret place, this spiritual domain where we run and find solace and comfort from God? How do we get there? I can't take you there. Now, in prayer, we can pray, and maybe God will use those prayers to lead you in, but I can't take you there. I wish I could. I can describe it to you, point it out to you, and tell you about it. But there is one person that can take you there: the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always there, and when we need that secret place of communion with Him, He says, "I'll take you there. Just take my hand." And He leads us into the secret place. And so, brethren, when you need to go there in your time of trouble, just say, "Lord Jesus, take me close to Yourself." And sometimes He will take the initiative even before you cry out. We find that as illustrated in the Bible. Look at the life of Jacob. He was in danger. His own brother was on his trail with armed men going after him. And then Jacob is afraid. He goes to sleep one night and uses a rock as a pillow of all things. And God met with him, and he wakes up and said, God was in this place. I didn't know it. What do we learn from that? God provided a secret place of shelter for Jacob and surprised him. Some of you know what that's like. You're going through an emergency, a trial or something, and even before you can cry out, God shows up. And he's all around you. And it's as it were, you can feel the feathers of his wings folded around you. And you say, thank you, Lord. You heard me before I even cried out. What a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. Can you remember being in the secret place? Some of you here can remember, oh yes, and with tears you can testify, yes, in the deepest trial of my life, when we lost a child. I lost my job. I was in the hospital. My marriage was falling apart. God took me into the secret place, and you'll never forget that. Remember the secret place. What else do we learn about it? It's a supernatural place. It's not necessarily a physical place. It's kind of like those science fiction novels where they say there are two parallel universes, and when they overlap, unusual things happen. We're still on here on Earth. But the secret place is like a little bit of heaven on Earth. We sense God is here. This is supernatural. This is spiritual. God is here. Therefore, it can be anywhere because God is everywhere. It could be at home. It could be out in the country somewhere. It could be here at church. It could be anywhere when you need to draw near to God. God can be there. Now, you can be next to someone, and you may not be in the secret place, but he might be. As a pastor, I visited with people in the hospital or at home, and they're very sick. And I go and visit them, and I look at that person and I say, he's in the secret place. There's just something about him. And he says, oh, Pastor, God is so good. He is right here with me in this room. It's like I can just reach out and touch him. And I can sense that brother is in the secret place. Have you ever sensed that when you visit someone? Or maybe you're in this secret place and someone comes and says, God's been with you. And you say, oh, yes, he's right here with me. He's inside of me. God is so good. You're in the secret place. You're very close to God, even though you're here on earth. And then there are also unusual places where it can happen to a person. And here I'm on holy ground, but it's not just when we're sick in the hospital or these other things. We all will get old one day. And some of us will develop things such as Alzheimer's. Will God forsake his children even in old age? Of course not. We learn that in Scripture. It says, even unto old age, I will be your God. And just maybe, some elderly saint that is in Alzheimer's and it's like a wall, a door has been closed and even his family can't communicate with him. He might be behind the curtain of communication. He might be in the secret place often, regularly. Though his body is on earth, he might be experiencing heaven on earth, deep within his heart, more than we can imagine. God doesn't forsake his children, even in Alzheimer's or any other affliction. Just think about that. God will not forsake his children. He always will provide the secret place when they need it. Turn with me next to Psalm 31 for yet another example of the secret place. The secret place is the best place on earth. It's a veritable heaven on earth, the most wonderful place you will ever experience here on earth, wherever it is, because it's a supernatural place. Look at Psalm 31. Verse 20, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. Now, follow me closely. God is already everywhere. God is omnipresent. There is no place God is not already there. But God does not always manifest himself everywhere. He manifests his presence in certain places. We read about it in Scripture, theophanies, visions, and so forth. He manifests his presence also in this secret place when his children need him. Look at the text again. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. in the secret place of your presence. God manifests His presence. That's why those in the secret presence sense it. By faith they say, I don't sense it physically. I don't see Him. I don't feel Him. I don't hear voices. But like Jacob in the Old Testament, he says, God is in this place. I sense it spiritually. It's a secret place of His presence. It's where God is near and He manifests His power, His love, His joy, His peace, His safety. Now I've saved the best wine for last. Turn with me lastly to the Song of Solomon, also known as the Song of Songs. That's shortly after Psalms and Proverbs. The Song of Songs is both a love story between Solomon and his bride, but it's also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, and there are wonderful lessons there. It's a love song that they sing back and forth to each other. And I found this reference. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. And one of the beloved sings, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cleft, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, for your face is lovely. What is this saying? The secret place is a place of spiritual romance with God. And every Christian needs to go there and enjoy spiritual love and romance with God. And God will meet us there. Just like in the natural realm. A couple gets married like yesterday and they want to be together. Married couples want to be together in a special place at home. They go on a honeymoon. John, you remember that old schmaltzy song says, hey, let's have a second honeymoon. Let's go back to Niagara Falls. This time we'll look at the falls. Because the first time they were just alone. God has provided these little special getaways where He says, get away from the world. I want you and just you, and I want to flood your heart with my love. The secret place is where you sense God's love, and it's a holy place, a place of romantic getaway, like a couple on their second honeymoon. Now, what is the essence of this secret place? Is it a building? Is it a tabernacle or a tent? Is it the wings of the dove or of the hen? No. Here's the secret of the secret place. Psalm 32, 7, David looks up to God and he's in the secret place and he says this, you are my secret place. And he uses that Hebrew word set there, you are my hiding place, O Lord. It's not a building. It's not even our own minds or hearts. It's God Himself. And since God is everywhere, we can draw near to God and get very close to Him in that secret hideaway wherever we are, and nothing else, you see, in our greatest times of distress, nothing else will satisfy us. Nothing else will give us that safety and encouragement we need. We need God. The little child needs its mother or father. We need God, and He is our hiding place. God Himself is the secret place. Just as, in a sense, God Himself is the glory of heaven. And by the way, I'd remind you, God is also the fire of hell. God Himself is the secret place of safety here on earth. Heaven is God's ultimate secret place. God Himself will be the tabernacle of heaven. The secret place, brethren, on earth is simply this. A little bit of heaven on earth where we draw near to God Himself. And He is our all in all. We feel safety. We feel love, encouragement, peace. Everything we need, we will find in the secret place. Family of God, may the Lord use these words to encourage our hearts so that the next time you are in danger, you will know the secret place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have provided this hideaway that we can run to. You are our secret place. Bring us into it when we need You in our time of great trouble. Help us to repent so that we can enter and enjoy communion and safety with You. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.